today on More to Life, Parenting with Grace. Parenting's a tough job, and being a Catholic parent in today's world is especially challenging. If you've got parenting questions, we've got the answers you're looking for. Give us a call, 877-573-7825.
If you want to have a great marriage and family and personal life, well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today, our topic is parenting on our show titled Parenting with Grace, the eponymously named show, named for our books, Parenting Your Kids with Grace and Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace. But you don't have to check out the book. We can talk to you right now at 877-573-7825. Let's face it, parenting is a tough job, and being a Catholic parent today is especially challenging.
You know, it's especially challenging because we are always, as Catholic parents, as Christian parents, called to help our children to be formed emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We are very much a part of helping them create a relationship with God and the church that is supposed to last for eternity. And yet the world is going insane in so many ways. One of the ways that seems small, but it's huge, is we have so little time with our kids these days, the way everything is going, or the way the educational system is going, the need to work is going. How do we do all this? Whether we're expecting children or hoping for children, or we have been raising children for 30, 40, 50 years, we never stop being parents. Even when our children have children and lives of their own, we still need to be able to guide them, pray for them, help them in ways that will help them with their spiritual, physical, and emotional well-being. Wow! That can feel like you're just pushing a rock up a hill all the time, and it really can wear us out and cause us to have a lot of questions about how in the world we even do it. So wherever you are in your parenting stages, we're here for you today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
You're talking about the challenges of forming our kids spiritually. Mm-hmm. You know, we just recently completed a study through the Center for Applied Research and the Apostolate that looked at what it takes to pass the faith on to the next generation of kids, and we found that only 15%, that's 1-5, 15% of kids raised in Catholic households grow up to be faithful Catholic adults. But we also learned in that study what works, because we talked to families who successfully raised all of their children to a faithful adulthood, and we identified certain things they do that other families can easily incorporate.
Easily. I want to underline that. Easily. This isn't about changing your whole life. This isn't about, you know, doing it the way somebody down the street does it. The things that were brought out in this study really are doable by anybody, anywhere in the world, any economic level, any construct. So there is hope. And I want to add, even if your kids are raised, some of these things are still applicable to rebuilding relationship with them, helping them to find their way back to God and the church. So there is so much hope here today on More to Life, no matter where you are. If you're asking, how do I get my child to sleep through the night? How do we potty train them? How do we deal with sibling rivalry? Or how do I help my grandchildren when their parents aren't in the faith anymore? All of those questions and more are open to you today on More to Life. 877-573-7825.
So we're talking about parenting challenges at every stage. Whether you have a younger child who's having a hard time handling their emotions, behaving well, dealing with school or social problems, or a teen or adult child who's pushing back against the faith or your rules, struggling in some way, and you're not sure how to support them, we are here for you. The number, 877-573-7825. By the way, if you missed the show, you can always check out the More to Life podcast later on. Every day we post a new podcast, and you can check it out on your favorite podcast streaming platform. We hope you will, and you can still get your questions in to by email, the questions at moretoliferadio.com. You can also search for specific topics that we've covered before, whether it's anxiety, anger, depression, relationship issues, you name it, all there on the More to Life podcast. Check it out. But we're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. We're talking about parenting and raising godly kids in an increasingly godless world. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And in case you're wondering what that is, when St. John Paul was Pope, he gave a series of reflections that looked at how we can discern God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships by prayerfully contemplating God's design of creation, especially His design of our body.
The theology of the body reminds Catholic parents that we aren't just called to raise kids who can function in society and hold down a good job, although, you know, we all know we really hope they can do that too. But we're called to raise strong, faithful kids who are committed to building the kingdom of God in their own lives and in the world. Because the world needs loving, responsible, godly people. And God has commissioned Catholic parents to give the world what it needs. The theology of the body tells us that families are meant to be schools of love and virtue, the places we learn to celebrate that unique Christian vision of love in our own lives and share it with everyone we meet.
And that's why the theology of the body reminds us that the Church teaches that being a good parent and building loving, faithful households, raising godly kids, is the most important ministry we can do if we're married with kids. The future of the Church and society depends on us doing our job well. But here's the good news. We don't parent alone. You know, God wants to parent alongside of us, helping us overcome all the obstacles that stand in our way. But that's why every day we need to lead our families in prayer. You know, I like to say that you can have Christians in a household, but you can't have a Christian household or a Christian family unless you're going together to God every day and asking Him how to be that family He wants you to be. You know, once we get into the habit of that, we need to also check in throughout the day, you know, bringing our parenting to God, asking Him to help us be the moms and dads He's calling us to be, and show us how to bring out the best in our kids and lead them to Him. Rooting our parenting life in humility and prayer so God can teach us how to create a more loving, connected, and caring Catholic home is the key to fulfilling our mission as Catholic parents. And that's what we're talking about today on More to Life. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We're talking about parenting and family life. Whether you've got questions about younger children, teens, or adult kids, or questions about being a Catholic family in today's world, let's talk it out and find graceful ways to respond to those parenting challenges. 877-573-7825. With that, let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you our children, and we ask you to help us be parents after your own heart. Help us to be able to show your face of love to our kids and to introduce them to you so that they can build a strong personal relationship with you, giving everything they are and everything they want to be to your care. We ask you, Lord, to teach us how to be the parents that you want us to be so that we can model all the virtues that we want to, our kids to have, and so we can bring out the best in them as well. Help us, Lord, in this crazy, busy, godless world to raise godly, holy, healthy, joyful families so that we can praise you with our lives. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Parenting with Grace, named after our books, Parenting Your Kids with Grace, Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Let's talk about how to overcome the challenges that we all face in raising faithful kids in an increasingly faithless world. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Cameron, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Illinois.
Hi, Cameron. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hello.
Hello, what can we do for you, Cameron?
I was looking for your advice. My wife and my family are converting to Catholicism. We will be getting RCIA in the fall. My younger kids who are homeschooled will be enrolling in the one of the local Catholic schools. I have two teenagers that go to the Protestant Christian school here. And they've shadowed at the high school, and we're trying to decide whether they really don't want to change high schools, but we're longing for all of them to come into the Catholic faith. And they are pretty resistant, though, to going to the Catholic high school. And we're just trying to decide whether it would be best for them to say, hey, we really want you guys to be at the Catholic school and have a Catholic education for the remainder of your high school years, or do we keep them
and,
at
and what years are they in school, by the way?
In.
Sure. What years are they in?
Okay. And I think one of the things that we need to look at in discerning this with you and helping you find ways to discern this is your experience of the school so far, the Protestant high school. There are Protestant high schools where, you know, you can go and everybody is just, you know, we're Christian, we love God, we're good. And then there are some, unfortunately, that are antagonistic toward the Catholic faith. Where are they on that spectrum? Are your children learning from this school that Catholicism is not okay? Or are they able to just go and be part of the school and enjoy being in a Christian atmosphere?
Well, unfortunately, there has been some antagonism. We are currently attending an Anglo-Catholic church here in town. Like I said, entering the Catholic Church. And they've already, because of the fact that our liturgy is very Catholic, our beliefs are becoming more Catholic, they've already had some antagonism.
And do you feel like your kids are handling that antagonism well, or is it been difficult for them?
It's been, it hasn't been like a major stress, but they have made comments that it's been frustrating to them. I think it lends to some confusion because they're wanting to be faithful to us and follow it in this path that we're taking, but at the same time they're hearing different things at their school, and they're wanting to fit
Last in. Question. Last question. Are you guys praying about all this as a family?
Yes, for the most part, not as consistent as we probably should be.
Okay, well, tell me more about that. Like, how are you guys praying about it?
A lot of discussion and then prayer. My wife and I together and separately have been praying. We've asked the kids to pray individually and just seek, you know, what they think the Lord might want them to do.
But not praying as a family. Okay. No, that's fine. Okay, so there's your next step.
I think that's definitely your next step.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, the kids are teenagers, and so, you know, they're in a place where they can be helping to discern these kinds of things. Obviously, you know, when it comes to discernment, we always have to place ourselves under the proper authority, so it's not like your kids have an equal vote in this. But, you know, they need to be part of that process and be able to discern with you. So I think, you know, and how do we do that? Well, you know, I think, like you said, there's a lot of discussion, but I think that what you want to be doing is having the kind of prayer time about this where you're talking to God as if he was another member of your family, right? And you're saying out loud, you know, in each other's presence to God, okay, Lord, you know, on the one hand, we want this. On the other hand, a part of me wants that. You know, and each person is kind of expressing it like that. You know, part of me feels this way, Lord. Part of me feels this way, Lord. You know, and as you go through it, what you're doing, you're talking to God, but you're listening to each other in the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to be highlighting certain things that each of you say, and sort of inspiring you with different ideas or thoughts. Because, you know, a lot of times what we do is we try to put God in a box. We say, okay, God, should we do this or should we do that? But, and God says, well, you know what, how about this third option that allows you to address all of your concerns? And we're like, well, I never even thought about that. So, you know, when we're able to pray together as a family the way I'm describing and really bring our hearts to God and saying, you know, Lord, part of me wants this and part of me wants that. You know, the kids want this and we want that. You know, help us to take care of each other while we figure out what you want us to do as a family. That part of the prayer is really important because you want to really set this up as this is something that we're deciding as a team. We're together going to God and wanting to defer to his will. So help us, Lord, to take care of each other while we figure out what you want us to do. Is really the next step. I mean, it's good that you and your wife are praying together and individually, and you've asked the kids to pray about it individually. But I think that this is something that you really want to be sorting out together where, for example, you're asking questions from your prayer time. Well, all right, let's talk about this. You know, our goal here is to be more faithful Catholics. How would we do that? Or how would you guys do that if you stayed in the school that you're at? What would that look like if you changed schools? Oh, what would that look like if, you know, this situation came up or that? You know, let's pray about that. Let's talk through this. And so you're discerning it every day together as a family. This is an opportunity not just to make a decision about school, but to use your growing faith to draw closer, to let God draw you closer to him and to each other through this process. I would really encourage you. We have a book called Discovering God Together, the Catholic Guide to Raising Faithful Kids, where we talk about this kind of family prayer and how to appropriately incorporate kids into discernment, because, as I said, they don't have an equal say to the parents. You guys make the call on this. But there's a way to incorporate them that helps them really feel like they are taking more responsibility for their prayer lives and learning how to discern things as a family. So in Discovering God Together, the Catholic Guide to Raising Faithful Kids, we do talk more about this. I'm also going to suggest to you this resource, Catholic Home. It's HOM. It stands for Households on Mission. It's an app where we provide not just tons of resources to help Catholic families build more loving, caring, connected households, but where we provide daily coaching. Our whole team of pastoral counselors and Catholic Family Life coaches are on there answering subscribers' questions, hosting weekly deeper dive discussions that are moderated. We put out lots of great resources. So I think that it would be a great resource for you to continue this conversation about how to be a Catholic household and a Catholic family, regardless of where you guys end up. But your next step is really discerning this together. And once you've tried to do that a few times, give us a call back and let us know how it's going. Or if you become a part of the Catholic Home community, share your experience there. I know it'll be an inspiration to other members. Plus, you get an opportunity to ask follow-up questions there too. So Cameron, thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here again on the show or through the Catholic Home app. We'd love to talk with you. And again, for listeners, that's Catholic HOM. It stands for Households on Mission. And you can pick it up at wherever you get your apps. All right. We are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. We're talking about parenting today on More to Life. Whether your kids are littles, school-age kids, teenagers, or adult kids.
Or you're worried about those grandkids that you want to have an influence on. Being a parent lasts your lifetime and beyond, because heaven knows we're going to all be interceding for our children and our grandchildren for generations to come from heaven. It's an important role, and it can feel heavy, difficult, and confusing at times. Let us help you find those grace-filled answers today to your questions and concerns on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
We'll be back with more of your calls. Plus, we'll be joined by Rachel Isaac, who'll be sharing some insights on how we can approach our kids when we're a little frustrated that they haven't done what we've asked. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Another great podcast on EWTN Podcast Central is A Reason for Hope. It explores the Catholic faith and the teachings of St. John Paul II in a way that's fun, relevant, and engaging. You can hear A Reason for Hope and other faith-filled podcasts from our friends and affiliates around the world. all in one place. All free at EWTN Podcast Central. Visit EWTN.com/radio and click on Podcast Central today.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Garendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling. 40 years of experience, 17,000 current students, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plan, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right, pretty much everything. My wife and I use Seton, some of our children. Tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. Over 30% higher on English and reading on the ACT. It's a rigorous program. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. That is setonhome.org.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Parenting with Grace. You know, parenting is a tough job, and being a Catholic parent in today's world is particularly challenging. If you've got parenting questions, questions about building a more faithful, loving, joyful family life, we are here for you. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Isaac. She is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com, where she also directs the St. Sebastian Program for Performance Excellence. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Always glad to be here.
So you wanted to share some insights about how parents can respond when a child doesn't do what we've asked them to do, how we can engage them without provoking, defensiveness or tension. That, I think everybody's on the edge of their seat for this one. Take it away.
Well, it is easy for us as parents to often operate from a reactionary place, right? We just have a lot to manage. We want to keep our kids safe, and we often jump to the worst case scenario in an attempt to stay on top of things. But as you're saying, right, this approach can really quickly make us feel burnt out and unintentionally put a barrier between us and our children. So one simple way to break out of this reactionary state is to shift the question we lead with when we're interacting with our children, and others for that matter, from what are you doing to how are you doing. This is a helpful approach to put connection first. We tend to approach our kids by saying, what are you doing? Especially when it comes to, something we ask them to do and we see it's not done, right? But asking how are you doing allows us to connect first and more accurately understand why something might not be done without dealing with the defensiveness right off the bat. If I ask my child...
Well, that seems so antithetical to a lot of parents, because let's say, we said clean up your room, and we walk in and they're just sitting there on, gaming or something, and nothing has been done. Our reaction is to get angry. We have been not respected. And we come in and say, well, how are you doing? Parents might be saying, well, how in the world does that get us to get them to clean up their room and respect us? Talk to us about that bridge.
Well, if I ask my child how they're doing, and, then their response to me is, I have a headache. My friend got mad at me. Whatever the situation might be. In those scenarios, we can quickly understand why they're sitting on the couch or laying on their bed rather than completing the task that we asked them to do. Of course, that doesn't mean that they get away with not completing what I asked them to do, but it does mean that we're connecting before correcting, which will just in general lead to a more effective outcome, both in the situation and long term.
So when we can say to them, I'm so sorry that's happening to you, or I'm sorry you have a headache, can I get you, you know, some Tylenol, or connect in that way that doesn't immediately attack them for, you know, not listening to us, then we can move on. Our second step would be, I know you're going through this right now, but let's talk about the plan of how we can time this out and get this room done, because it needs to be done by such and such a time, right?
Exactly. I'm supporting them. I'm meeting them where they're at, but then I'm saying, hey, you know, this thing that I asked you to do still needs to get done. You know, with how you're feeling right now, is that something that you need help with? We can do it together. Or again, yeah, let's create a plan to make this happen. You know, so that way we're able to meet their needs, but while still meeting the needs that we have as well.
So, Rachel, well, let's say the kid just says, oh, I'm fine. In that situation, there's no reason that they've stopped doing the thing that they're doing. You know, how do we move them on to the task in those situations?
Well, I think in those situations, we can become a little bit more direct and kind of say, okay, you know, I did ask you to take care of this thing, and I see you're laying on your bed playing video games. You know, A, what was your plan for getting that done? Is there a reason you haven't accomplished that yet? Right. Again, kind of leading with connection and kind of exploring, rather than immediately jumping to that, why haven't you gotten this thing done? And now they're shutting down and we're yelling at each other. And right. We might think that taking this approach takes a little bit too much time sometimes. It's like, well, I just need to get this done. I don't have time to have that conversation with them.
But I'll tell you what, fighting with your kids and being furious, that lasts a lot longer.
That's going to take a whole lot longer. So if we can pause and take that five-minute conversation to connect and make a plan and work together, we're all going to be on the same team at the end of the day.
Rachel, thank you so much for the suggestions. If folks would like to learn more about your good work, I encourage them to go to CatholicCounselors.com, where they can learn more about our pastoral counseling services and about your St. Sebastian Program for Performance Excellence, where you're working with folks like athletes and professionals who are interested in success. Check it out, CatholicCounselors.com. We're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Back in a minute.
What are the three parables Jesus tells about prayer in St. Luke's Gospel? The first is what the Catechism calls the importunate friend. This is the friend who wakes a pal at midnight in order to borrow three loaves of bread to feed a visitor. The second parable the Catechism labels the importunate widow, who persistently pleads for her rights from a reluctant judge till the wearied judge rules in her favor. This parable illustrates the need to pray always and with the patience of faith. Jesus closes this parable with the poignant question, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find any faith on the earth?" The third parable centers on the Pharisee and the tax collector, commending the tax collector for his humility because he asked God to be merciful to me, a sinner, a prayer which the Church adopts as its own. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
John, chapter 8, verse 51. Jesus is in a discussion with some of the leaders of the Jews. They're talking about Abraham. Abraham lived 1,500 years before the time of Jesus. So in the course of the discussion, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." He says that often in the Gospels. "He who keeps my word or believes in me will never die." To which the Jews say, "Now we know you have a demon." And they say, "Abraham died, as did the prophets, all the patriarchs, the great men and women of the history of Israel. All these people died, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets, who died?" And Jesus says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he was to see my day. He saw it and was glad." To which the Jews say, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham?" And Jesus answers, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am."
Hi, I'm Lisa Popchak. Nothing taxes our relationship with our adult kids as much as the expectation that they should obey us. As parents, we remember when our children were little and we could get away with, "Because I said so." Although we don't recommend that approach at any stage, we guarantee that you will fail to communicate with your adult children if you demand obedience. The Catechism of the Catholic Church notes, obedience towards parents ceases with the emancipation of our children. Certainly, our children owe us their respect, just as any human being owes respect to others in a relationship. But our adult children aren't obliged to do what we say. Catholic parents are still called to help our adult kids lead godly adult lives, but we're called to do it as mentors and witnesses, not masters and commanders. To learn how you can have a healthy mentoring relationship with your adult kids, check out our book, Having Meaningful and Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today our show is titled Parenting with Grace. We're talking about, well, parenting at every age and stage. Whether you've got little school-age kids, teenagers, or adult kids, we want to help you make parenting a little easier. You know, I mentioned earlier Catholic Home. Today is the month, or excuse me, this month is the month of Mary. And we have two great downloadables on the Catholic Home app. One is talking about how your family can come together and celebrate the Blessed Mother in this month. Plus, we've got the Virtue Challenge activity, which gives you fun ways to encourage virtue in your kids. That's all at the Catholic HOM app, stands for Households on Mission. Download it today wherever you get your apps, Catholic HOM. While I'm on the subject of kids and entertainment, EWTN has some great programs available for you. You check out Kids Faith Adventures. It includes programs like Cat Chat, The Friar, Children's Rosary, Tompkin and Blaze, Masterpiece Donut Shop, and more. You can check it out at EWTN.com/kids.
You know, I know I'm so grateful for having had EWTN kids shows there as our kids were coming up, and I had the funniest experience, or I should say our youngest daughter did, when she was in high school and she was in theater with a girl who lived, you know, several cities away from us, and they started chatting, and she was telling, you know, her friend what her parents did, and she said, EWTN? I used to sit at my grandma's house and watch all those shows. And she started naming all the EWTN kids shows. And they just like hit it off because they had all these conversations to have. And it was interesting because she wasn't raised in a Catholic family, but her grandma was Catholic and had those shows on and took her to church when she had her. And it made a significant impact in her life. So
you can catch
those shows on, whether you're the mom, the dad, the grandparents, anybody who cares about your kids.
And you can catch them all at EWTN.com/kids. All right, with that, we are taking your calls about parenting today on More to Life on our show titled Parenting with Grace, 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Christine, who's listening to EWTN Radio in South Carolina.
Hi, Christine. Welcome to More to Life. What's up? Christine, are you there?
Christine in New York?
Hello?
No. I'm sorry, South Carolina.
Hi, Christine. What's up?
Yes. Hi.
There we are.
Hi.
Hi. What can we do for you today?
I'm doing okay. Well, I'm having issues with my 14-year-old son. He has some behavioral issues, and some of it stems from OCD. OCD with the types of foods he's going to eat or things that bother him.
Has he been diagnosed?
Wouldn't bother him.
Has he been diagnosed
no,
he with OCD?
Or? No, okay. This is recent, but my mother has OCD, so I'm thinking, I don't know if it's genetic or what, but it's frustrating, and he's lost so much weight because he doesn't want to eat foods. We used to go out and eat as a family, or eat fast food. Or he'll eat my food at home, but if he sees something that what he thinks could be a hair, that's it. He's done eating. For example, he likes Mug Root Beer, and he saw some bubbles in there. And first he looked to see if the seal had been broken. He always inspects to make sure the seal's not broken on bottles. And if he saw, if this morning he saw that, or yesterday he saw that there were bubbles, he was thinking, okay, there's something going on here. There's carbonation in there, and he'll do a search on the internet. It's little things like that are disruptive to his behavior. He's lost so much weight that he's going to be in a play tonight, and he won't let me buy him new clothes because he's very picky, and we both are picky with clothes, but him more so than me, and he's wearing pants that are way too big now, and we had to go and buy a belt because he would allow me to buy him a belt. But then this morning he didn't want to leave because he said his pants were too big.
All right, Christine, so let me jump in, because this isn't a behavior problem. This really is a mental health problem, and there is a genetic component to OCD. That said, the good news is there are effective treatments for it, not just medication, although medication is sometimes indicated, but cognitive behavior therapy can be very effective. There are a couple of main approaches. One is called exposure response prevention therapy, which involves teaching the person to calm themselves down in the presence of a trigger, whether that is, you know, a perceived, you know, contamination, or, you know, the thoughts that kind of compel me to do repetitive actions. You know, how do I identify those thoughts, and how do I kind of relax myself through them? You know, OCD essentially is like getting a pinched nerve in a part of your brain called the right caudate nucleus. That's a part of the limbic system, the emotional brain, that's responsible for giving us the feeling that there's something wrong, right? And you can get a pinched nerve in your brain just like you can get a pinched nerve in your leg, right? And what happens when you get a pinched nerve in your leg? You want to tense up, right? The leg tenses up more and more and more. How do you let it go? How do you work out that pinched nerve? Well, you have to resist that temptation to tense up the leg, and you have to kind of breathe through it and relax it out, and then the nerve stops spasming. Well, in the same way, there's a process for learning how to release that pinched nerve in that part of the emotional brain that kind of makes you feel like there's something wrong even when there isn't. And so there are techniques that you can learn to do that. Now, so one set of techniques is called exposure and response prevention. There's another set of techniques it's a process called the 4R approach, and that's described in Jeffrey Schwartz's book Brain Lock, which is a terrific book. I'd really encourage you to get it. But what it basically does is it helps the person recognize the difference between, say, a real problem, a tangible problem, versus that pinched nerve in their brain. It helps them to identify strategies for refocusing their energy so that they can kind of breathe through the tension and ride the wave out until it decreases and they can resist the compulsion. So anyway, either way, and again, sometimes medication can be indicated. That's not really the first place to start. The first place to start is working with a counselor who is trained in one or the other or both of those methods. I would really encourage you to, you know, once you hang up the phone here, to get in touch with somebody now, especially because this is affecting his health, in physical health, in terms of the weight that he's losing. I'm actually really concerned about that. And there may be some elements of an eating disorder tied up with this too. That's going to have to be teased out by a clinician who can evaluate those things. So I really encourage you to get in touch with somebody who can specialize in OCD treatment. I think your instincts are correct about that, who may also have some eating disorder background, to be able to help your son with the nutritional aspects of this. But this is not a behavior problem. This is really a mental health problem. And when we, you know, when we treat behavior problems, or excuse me, when we treat mental health problems like a behavior problem, they end up getting worse because we end up punishing the kid or setting consequences, and they don't have control over it. They have to learn skills to be able to get conscious control over that physical thing that's going on in their bodies.
And also, when we punish them or you know, insist in some way that they get control of something they can't get control of, their bodies also go into fight or flight. So they will actually double down on those behaviors because some part of their brain find those behaviors comforting. So we're actually making that lock into their brain even more.
Well, what happens, so, you know, you have the emotional brain and then your thinking brain, right? And the emotional brain says, there's something wrong. And the thinking brain looks around and says, I don't see a problem here. But then that part of the limbic system screams out, no, there really is something wrong. And the thinking brain says, yeah, I still don't see the problem. And then the emotional brain says, yeah, but there is still a problem. So what happens is the thinking brain comes up with a ritual to try to just say, all right, fine, whatever. I'm going to humor you, and I'm going to give you something to do so you can stop bothering me. And that's where the compulsions come in. And they become compulsions because I do the thing that I think is going to make me feel better, and it doesn't help. So it just actually exacerbates it. So, yeah, learning how to deal with that. By the way, I would also encourage you to make sure that you're going with your son to treatment.
Absolutely.
Ideally,
positively.
You know, you and your husband, too, because especially when you have a kid who's dealing with these kinds of things, it's really frustrating for a parent to know how to redirect them without getting sucked into big, long arguments and discussions. When you're working with somebody who has OCD, it can become a very circular and stressful conversation that you can't win because you end up trying to treat it like an intellectual problem. Let me just talk you through why there's no hair in the food. Let me just talk you through why those bubbles don't mean that there's something wrong with the root beer. And then it's like, well, but what if this? But what if that? But what if the other thing? And then you start getting sucked into the whole thing, which ends up rewarding the problem. So you have to work. I want you to work with your son and a counselor to be able to figure out how best to support him through that tension of the moment and to a healthier place. Again, I'm going to suggest you pick up the book Brain Lock by Jeffrey Schwartz. Terrific resource, but you know, don't wait for the book. Call today to make an appointment with a counselor who will be willing to see your family and who specializes in OCD treatment. Again, that's either exposure response prevention treatment or this 4R approach or both. Thanks again for the call, Christine. 877-573-7825. We're taking your calls about parenting today on More to Life. Parenting's a tough job, and being a Catholic parent in today's world is especially challenging. If you've got parenting questions about your littles, school-age kids, teens, or adult kids, or if you've just got questions about how to build a more loving, faithful Catholic home in today's world, don't hesitate to reach out to us today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 7.
Love the Lord your God with your whole heart, and with your whole mind, and with your whole strength. Take to heart these words. Keep repeating them to your children. Recite them when you are at home, and when you are away, and when you lie down, and when you get up.
So God's mission statement to Catholic to parents. This comes from Deuteronomy, and so this is an ancient Jewish custom that we need to pick up as Catholic parents as well, reminding ourselves to love the Lord with our whole heart, mind, and strength, and to really show our children. When it says repeating them to your kids, it doesn't just mean saying things to them. It means really showing them how to love the Lord with every part of them in every decision they make and everything that they do, and that can be challenging. So if you're struggling to know how to make that happen in your family, let's talk it out together today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. We'll be back right after this message.
EWTN Radio is seeking a dynamic radio producer to join the EWTN Radio team in Irondale, Alabama. The right candidate will be a passionate, multi-skilled, talented professional who can manage and direct all aspects of producing world-class programming and play an integral part in Mother Angelica's mission. If this is you or someone you know, email a resume and cover letter, including salary requirements, to humanresources@ewtn.com.
The Encounter Conference, June 26th through the 28th at the New Glass City Center in Toledo, Ohio. 15 powerful speakers.
It is the encounter with the Holy Spirit that makes Jesus come alive and gives us the courage and the wisdom to go forth and to even risk our own lives.
Everyone pretty much says the miracles that Jesus did are real. The miracles that the early church did are real.
As often as the popes are talking about the new evangelization, they're also saying we need to pray for a new Pentecost. We need to return to the upper room. Encounter represents the church returning to the upper room. As we're coming boldly before God and asking Him to renew that Pentecostal fire for the strength, the gifts, and the wisdom to be able to preach Jesus to a lost and broken world so that we can become fully alive in Him, so that the world may come to believe that Jesus is the one whom God sent.
Register today at EncounterConference.org. That's EncounterConference.org.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, Parenting with Grace. We're taking your parenting questions, whether you've got littles, school-age kids, teens, or adult kids. Parenting never ends, and it's never easy. So let's talk it out and help you make parenting a little more, well, successful. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Kathy, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New York.
Hi, Kathy. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I'm part of a big family, and there's a family wedding this weekend, but there has been a sad development in the family, and it's going to be a topic of conversation. So my brother has left his wife and two adult children. So I would like a strategy or something to frame this with my adult 31-year-old son and his wife so that he can have, compassion about the situation, because everybody's got their own feelings about this. And
you're afraid he's going to be angry, or that he's going to somehow make a scene with his uncle at this wedding? What's your concern here, Kathy? Because this is an adult child who's entitled to his own feelings about it. So what's up?
Yes, the uncle is not going to be there, but there will be other... it's just going to come up, and I know some people are mad at my sister-in-law, some people are mad at my brother, and I just want my son to have a godly perspective on this, and maybe to help be a voice of reason. And it's only been 2 weeks. It's very, very new. So
I don't understand. Like, what are you concerned he's going to do? Like, what is it that you're trying to prevent?
Oh. Well, I don't want him to be hurt, but
Okay. Well, look, Kathy, I mean, he's a 31-year-old man, and he's responsible for his own reactions to things, and I think that the best approach is the direct approach, just to say, I just wanted you to know what happened in the family, and we were all really sad about it, and then have a conversation about it. You can't either predict or control his reactions. And I think my concern for in your call is that you're a person who is inappropriately putting yourself in the middle of things. You know, there's such a thing as a peacemaker, okay, and then there's somebody who is a rescuer. And there's a difference between the two. You know, a peacemaker is somebody who, attempts to pursue the right order, but recognizes they can't control everything. A rescuer is somebody who feels like they've got to run around micromanaging everybody's feelings so that everything goes perfectly well, which is a recipe for anxiety disorders and kind of a disaster, frankly. So I want you to step out of the middle of this. This is not, I mean, you're obviously concerned about your brother and his wife. You certainly want to lift them up into prayer. If anybody comes to you and says they want to do something uncharitable or ineffective, you can certainly say, I understand where you're coming from, but we really need to try to be a support to them and try to figure out how to help them find the help that they need to get back on the right road, and getting angry at them isn't going to help anything. So you can be a positive influence and an instrument of grace in those situations, but you can't control how this all plays out. And I'm a little concerned that you're trying to take on that role of rescuer.
Yeah, and I think, it's fine when you explain to your son the situation between your brother and his wife, when you can say, and this is how I'm feeling about it. I'm having compassion for this reason, this reason, this reason. But you don't have to ask him to share that with you. You don't have to try to control the whole family, especially in a wedding situation. The best thing you can do in a wedding is enjoy the wedding, support the bride and groom, and if somebody brings up something that you feel is inappropriate or could make things explode, excuse yourself and go to the ladies' room or get another soda or something like that. But don't find yourself tripping into it, trying to make everybody work it out, because that can actually cause more tension in the long run among those people.
All right, Kathy, thank you. You have a beautiful heart, and your intentions are very, very good. But I think that you're trying to take on more than you than any human being has the ability to do. So, you know, just share the information and be there to be a support to your brother and his wife, and to, you know, be an instrument of grace if people come and say that they want to handle it inappropriately in some way.
But sometimes being an instrument of grace means excusing yourself. You know, Jesus often was in a crowd that was agitated, and Scripture tells us he would disappear from their midst. It's okay to just excuse yourself from a conversation so that you're not adding fuel to the fire.
All right. Thanks so much for the call, Kathy. 877-573-7825. We've got another question here from where, Lisa?
Well, it's an anonymous question that came through our radio, questions@moretolifradio.com. And she says, hi, my 11-year-old daughter has so many great qualities. However, one trait she really has is bothersome. She often doesn't want to do her homework, etc. at times. If she doesn't get her way in that, she'll scream and act very disobediently and wail and not stop. It's embarrassing, as we worry that the neighbors will hear her and think something much worse is going on than it really is. We've realized it often happens when she doesn't get sufficient sleep the night prior. She needs 11 to 12 hours of sleep, and sometimes life happens, and as busy as we are, no matter how hard we try, she doesn't get that amount of sleep. How can we help her stop this loud, defiant, tantruming pattern such that we can relax on the days when she hasn't gotten the sleep she needs the night prior, and also so she doesn't do it, on the days she is well rested but angry about something?
All right, gotcha. So, thank you for the question. And so, you know, when you're talking about handling a problem, you can talk about kind of remote solutions and proximate solutions. And what I mean by that is, you know, a remote solution is, you know, good nutrition or getting enough sleep. There are things that you do that are far removed from the situation that help set up success. But a proximate solution is, how do I handle it in the moment? And so, you know, what you're describing are things that you're trying to do remotely to handle the issue, but it doesn't necessarily connect the dots with what's going on in the present. You know, what your daughter is doing there is called, she's struggling with self-regulation, right? And that's a skill that we all need to learn, that, I mean, you know, some adults struggle with. But in terms of how do you approach that, at her age, you can't control that. You can only give her the space to get control of herself. So you want to, number one, you want to have a conversation with her where you say, where you identify, all right, we're going to help you work on handling these frustrating situations better. Let's talk about, say, the last two or three times whenever you reacted this way. What would be a healthier way to express your feelings? How could you share that you're frustrated or upset or that you're struggling? Let's talk about that. And you actually walk through a handful of these times. Then you say, okay, so look, I need you to promise that you're going to do those things. And if not, then I'm going to have you take a time out until you're able to do those things. Now, there's a special process with this time out. It's not just sending your kid to the room and letting her come out whenever she wants. That's not actually a timeout. That's I don't know what that is. It's not effective. So in the moment, if she starts to lose it, you prompt her and you say, okay, what did we talk about how you're going to handle frustration or being stressed? And then you try to prompt her with that. Hopefully she'll be able to come back online. If not, then you say, all right, I will be willing to help you if you can stay in control of yourself. But if you can't, and you won't let me help you, then you need to be by yourself until you're able to get yourself calmed down. And the reason for that is that kids who, say, over about age 4 or 5, once self-talk kicks in, they can fan the flames of their own anger. We can't help them. Like, you know, a 3- or 2-year-old, we can just cuddle them and distract them, and they feel better, and they move on. But once they've got self-talk, they can start saying in their head, oh, mom's not fair, or everybody hates me, or the world's not, you know, and they perpetuate their own tantrums. So she needs to be given the space where she's not allowed to let her life go on or interact with the rest of you until she's found a way to calm herself down. But even then, she doesn't get to come out of the timeout, right? You put her in the place where there's a timeout there. It doesn't start until she's quiet. So timeout doesn't start until the kid is calmed down. Anything, if it takes an hour to get her to that place, she's in the room and working herself. Then she takes that 10 minutes after she's calm. Then you come in and check on her and say, she needs to be able to tell you what she did wrong, what she needed to be able to do differently, She needs to be able to give you a sincere apology, and she needs to be able to role play with you how that should have gone. Not just, you know, yes, mommy, you know, not that, but, you know, how can I role play how she could express her feelings appropriately? And you want to talk with her about the language she can use to say that she's upset, or the language she can use to ask for help when she's feeling frustrated, or whatever, right? But you want to role play that. Only when she's done those four steps is she ready to come out of the timeout, right? So it doesn't start until she's calm, and then she has to do those four steps after that to come out. If she can't do those four steps, then she needs to stay there another 10 minutes, right? But the point is, you need to give her the space that she needs to wrestle with her own emotional reactions so that she can get better control of this. This is the kind of thing, by the way, listeners, that we talk about every day on the Catholic Home app. If you've ever had one of those days where you're saying, I don't know how to handle this with my kid, or gosh, I'm just feeling so frustrated or alone or lonely or not knowing what to do, then Catholic Home is here for you. You take the phone out of your back pocket and you type in a question, and one of our team members is there to respond to that. Plus, you get great resources like monthly downloadables, awesome podcasts, monthly Q&A live streams, and tons of other things to help you build a more loving, caring, and connected Catholic household on mission. That's what HOME stands for. Catholic H-O-M, Households on Mission. Download it wherever you get your apps, and we hope that you'll be part of that Catholic HOME community. Thanks so much for tuning in today to More to Life. If you'd like to learn more about being a more effective parent, in addition to Catholic Home, you can reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor. Now get out there and celebrate the life God has for you.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.
More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.